Something special for the Sunday School Hour this morning. We have Brother Rocky Shelton here with us, and he's from the Crossroads Rescue Mission there in Shelby, North Carolina, and he's just down for a quick trip. I met him kind of on the phone a while back, and just not really officially or anything, but got to meet him yesterday, and he has a wonderful testimony of what the Lord's done through some circumstances in his life, a ministry that God led him to start through a local church there in Shelby, North Carolina, and how it's helped a lot of men, helped them with their rehab and getting over, God delivering them from drugs and addictions of all different kinds. And so I thought it'd be remiss of us not to get to hear some of his testimony, some of his story this morning. The Lord's used him in a wonderful way, and we're glad to have him here at Landmark Baptist Church this morning. So Brother Shelton, you come speak to us. Amen.
Thank you, preacher. Well, I tell you this morning, I'm honored. 25 years ago, I never thought I'd be standing here. I promise you that. The Lord, He's been so good to me. And it's easy to brag on Him. I mean, I've heard about this great work down here, and then yesterday, I come by and I seen everything that God was doing down here and how that has, I mean, a history of helping people and I mean, reaching out to all the community and everything. And then I think about our little work up there, you know, how that in 10 years, I mean, what God has done up there. But I just think about God 25 years ago, whenever I was a drunk and I was a drug addict, and I didn't care about God. I didn't want to hear about God. But a good Christian people, you know, they kept coming by my way. You know, they kept on witnessing to me, kept on giving me tracts. And then when I got at the end of my rope, my wife had given me a Bible and went to reading that Bible. And God had never left me alone. Even when I didn't want Him, even when I rejected Him, He didn't turn His back on me. You see, a preacher yesterday, I was talking to him, and I was telling him that I was, you know, that I was a drunk and I was a drug addict, and I had tried everything else in my life. Me and my wife would fuss or argue or anything like that, I'd want to make up with her. I said, one time we was fussing and arguing, and I said, well, I'll just go to church with you. Well, you know, I mean, we didn't go to church. I just thought, you know, that was a new plan. I mean, that was a new idea. So we went that night, and it is an old country preacher out there preaching of the gospel. And at the end of the service, he said, you've tried everything else. Why don't you try of the Lord? And my wife, you know, I was under a conviction so bad, I was just a trembling and crying. And my wife looked at me and said, I'm going down. Are you going to go with me? I said, no. I said, I'm not going tonight. That was the worst mistake I'd ever made in my life. My wife got saved. I mean, got saved, not turn over a new leaf, not just change her mind. But whenever she got saved, she really got it. I mean, they wasn't no more actually going up to the beer store or the pantry for me or any drugs in the house anymore or anything else. I mean, we went to war, you know. It was war for 2.5 years. You know, it was just war, and I got worser and worser because I had a wife who on her job, whenever I was at the clubs and the beer joints, she was in the bathroom and she was crying out to God, and she was saying, if you save Daniel in the lion's den, you can save Rocky. if you save the Hebrew children in the fiery furnace, you can save Rocky. Boy, hey, she wouldn't give up. Hey, when everybody else in the neighborhood, even a Baptist deacon, I'm told her, hey, why don't you just get you a good man? He ain't never going to change. But she said, no. If he can do all those other things, he can save Rocky. And she kept on praying, and I got worser, and I got worser. I wound up getting so out there on drugs, I thought I would take some drugs. So I robbed a drugstore. I mean, physically, I went in and robbed them. I made them, all of them lay down on the floor, and I got all the drugs. Well, I got called afterwards, and I was looking at life and 40 years in prison. I was looking at life because of the kidnapping. I had everybody to lay down on the floor. You have anybody to do anything against their will, that's called kidnapping. And then for armed robbery, it carries from 7 years to 40 years. And I was looking at life and 40 years, sitting in a South Carolina jail cell. And my wife comes, faithful wife, comes, brings me a King James Bible. And she said, you've tried everything else. Why don't you try the Lord? Well, I'd been to church with her. And I said, well, I'll just act like I'm doing good, and then they'll get me out on bond, and I'll run, and I'll get away from all of this. That's what I had in my mind. But God, but God had been working on me. God had been preparing my heart. And then I opened that Bible up, and I thought, you know, I just act like I'm doing good. And I turned to Isaiah 53. The gospel of the Old Testament. I didn't know it then, but boy, I sure do know it now. Hey, I turned to Isaiah 53, and I got down there about verse number 7, where he said he was oppressed, he opened not his mouth. Hey, he went as a lamb to the slaughter. Hey, he went there for me. See, I'd seen him as everything else, but I'd never seen him as a Savior. Hey, that morning, I'm telling you, down there in a Gaffney jail cell, the sweet Holy Ghost of God come down and sat right down beside me. He said, son, he said, he did that for you. That's the first time I'd seen him as a Savior. And I said, Lord, hey, I didn't know the Romans Road. I didn't know nothing. I just know I needed something in my life. And hey, and he was sitting right there beside me. I said, Lord, I said, I've tried for everybody else. I said, but if you'll save my soul, I'll try for you. Hey, I'm telling you, in May, it'll be 25 years. 25 years I've been trying, and he's been doing every bit of it. Hey, it's not nothing good in me. Anything you see today, it's the Holy Ghost of God. It's the sweet presence of God in my life. He's been a good God to me. I don't have no sad stories this morning. I don't have anything that I can accuse God of, except being good to me this morning. The preacher told you that he let me start a wonderful work in Shelby, North Carolina, up there. And you can, you can tell already, he didn't call me because I'm some kind of a great orator. I promise you that. Before I got saved, I couldn't say three words. I stuttered worse than I do now. The highway patrol would pull me over, and he had asked me. He said, "Have you been drinking, boy?" I'd say, "Oh, I couldn't get it out," and I just start, shaking my head. And he'd say, "Are you sure?" I'd say, "Oh." He'd say, "Go on down the road." but that's just how I was. I couldn't say anything. And my wife, when I would talk, she was always near me, because whenever I got hung up, she'd elbow me and I'd get it out, you know. But that's just how it was. But whenever God saved me, When God saved me, He put something down inside me. I got to get out. If it takes me 3 days, just be comfortable. I'm going to get done, I promise you. Amen. Hey, but He saved me, and then He started to use me. I never thought, you know, that He would use somebody like me. Hey, I didn't get out of all my troubles. Now, whenever I got saved, I got 10 years. I got 10 years in prison. And when I got 10 years in prison, had two little bitty boys there, and I thought, man, my life's over. I'm never gonna get to see them. You know, they're gonna grow up without a daddy. But through the grace of God, I only had to do 3 years. 3 years in prison. But that's what I needed. See, whenever I went to prison, I got grounded and rooted in the Word of God. I studied the Word of God every day. Off and on, I probably read the Bible 8 hours a day. And I got rooted and grounded. My wife, whenever I made a work release, she'd come and pick me up at 6 o'clock in the morning because I worked in a mill. And I had a little old Testament Bible, and I'd take that little Testament and I'd tell her in the car lights behind me what the Lord had showed me that night before. Man, I was so happy to just to be able to read the Word of God and be able to grow. Man, I'd share with her all the way to work every morning. And I told her, I said, Deborah, I said, I'm in prison, but I'm as free as I've ever been in my life. I said, I'm so happy, just so happy to know God. Hey, just so happy to be saved. Man, I it's a wonderful time in my life. Whenever I got the time, I thought it was awful. But every day I get to testify and I get to teach the men up at the mission. I think about the time that I spent alone, just me and the Lord in prison. All those nights, all those days, whenever it was just me and Him. If I hadn't went through that time, then I couldn't be doing what I'm doing today. We take in men that have a drug and alcohol problems. And I mean, we get them from everywhere. You say, how? Well, we help men, and then they go back and tell all of their friends, and then everybody has a cousin or a brother or an uncle, and then they call and tell. So we get men from New York, Las Vegas, Texas, California, everywhere, and usually they'll call up and say, "What kind of a program do you?" Do you have? And we say, well, we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we're going to teach you the principles of the Word of God. They say, man, look here, I'm pouring my heart out to you. I need some kind of psychology, and I need some kind of drug treatment program, and you're telling me all you're going to give me is Jesus? And say, oh, yeah, that's all you need. If you really get Him, that's all you ever need. Amen? That's all you ever need. The Bible says he'll teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. And He will lead you into all truth. That's what's wrong with everybody. They just don't want the truth today. Amen? But that's what we do. We bring them in. And at 7 o'clock in the morning, they're in devotion. At 7 o'clock at night, they're in a devotion. Usually around an hour. It could be an hour and a half, could be 2 hours. It's according on if the Holy Ghost somebody shows up or not. Amen. Where are they going to go? Nowhere. Nowhere. They're going. All of them going to be there at the mission, and then after devotion, they go to work. We're a work program. We, nobody comes out to mission and lays around and all that and be slothful and lazy. The Bible says if you do not work, you should not eat. Amen. So we have to work. And we house 45 individuals now. We started out 10 years ago with two. At the end of a year, we had 12. At the end of 2 years, we had 24. At the end of 3 years, we had 36. Like I said, I was an old roofer. I didn't know anything about going out and raising support or deputation or nothing else. I just knew that God had called me to a work and that He wanted it open as quick as He could. So, you know, we just started working on a building that our church owned. And then in a year, we started taking in men. And it's been wonderful. We also have a class called the Sons of God class. If they actually join it, they also get the first year of Bible college. In other words, they get homiletics, all them other courses. You can tell I don't teach it, I promise you. Amen. But I've got three graduates of Ambassador Bible College, and they teach everything. And it's wonderful. We have actually men graduating every 2 months. But it's a 6 month commitment. And boy, whenever they graduate, I'm as proud as if they were my own children. My own children, man, because I see them come in and grow in the Lord. And that's what I want above everything. I know if they get saved and grow in the Lord, then I don't have to worry about them anymore. They won't be back. They'll be out helping someone else. 25 years ago, I was in prison, and as a preacher come in, and he said, "Does anybody want to do anything for the Lord?" I popped up like a jack in the box, and I said, "I want to sing a song." Well, all of the inmates, they laughed. They said, "Man, he can't even talk to us." What do you mean, sing a song, huh? They can't sing no song. I said, "Yeah, I want to sing a song." 25 years ago, I started singing for the Lord. And I want to sing a song for you this morning, and I'll be done, preacher. Amen. You've been my life for so long. You were right when I was wrong. I can't repay you all the joy you've given me. You were my friend when no one cared. I was alone and you were there. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. I owe it all to you, Lord. All I have is yours, Lord. Take my life, make me what you'd have me be. I'm your child, you're my father. I'm the clay and you're the potter. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. Borrowed treasures, borrowed dreams, all I've joys you've given me. When troubles come, you're always there to make me smile. So come what may, thy will be done. I love you, Jesus, God's only Son. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. I owe it all to you, Lord. All I have is yours, Lord. Take my life. Make me what you'd have me be. I'm your child, you're my father. I'm the clay and you're the potter. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. Amen. 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 Amen.
Well, that was a blessing, amen. Amen. Oh, what a blessing, Brother Rocky. Appreciate that so much. And that wasn't all his testimony, but he gave us a good part of it this morning and what the Lord laid on his heart. And I'm so thankful for that. And we'll be praying for that rescue mission up there. I believe they're doing a good work, don't you? And I tell you what, it's not about a program. It's about a person. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's all kinds of programs out there. And I hope they help people. But I know some of my own experience when I was pastoring in Georgia, we got to go to the county below us there and talk to a lady that helped court order people into programs. And she told me, she says, a lot of these programs are good people and they're good programs, but it don't work. And she knew she was a saved lady, a Southern Baptist lady there in Milledgeville, Georgia, if some of you know where that's at. And she says that they're missing the Lord, they're missing God. And some folks run their program, they include God, and a lot of them, you know, just try and work around it. But I'll tell you one thing, Crossroads Rescue Mission there, it's about Jesus, amen? Not just about including them, it's about Jesus and personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It reminds me of those verses in Ephesians chapter 2. It says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." See, there's a time past for us as believers. We can look back and see what it used to be like. In time past, how we walked according to the course of the world, how we were in the kingdom of darkness. That's what it says in Colossians chapter 1, I believe it is. He's taken us from the kingdom of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. There's no darkness in God's kingdom. Amen. And all the darkness that we participate in down here and where sin will take you, a life of addiction and drunkenness and drug addiction and all those different things. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. I tell you what, when the light shines, the darkness has to flee away, doesn't it? Has to go away because darkness and light can't exist in the same place. And they can't exist in the same heart, by the way. They can't exist in the same body. So once we're saved and God moves in, there's a whole lot of stuff that moves out, because he don't board up and share rent with anybody. He takes over the whole thing. The whole purchased possession belongs to Him, and we're redeemed from the top of our heads to the sole of our feet, and we're going to realize that one day when we see Him face to face. I appreciate that good testimony this morning, Brother Shelton, I wish my dad, the only regret I have is I wish my dad was here to meet Brother Shelton and get to know him. We're going to try and get him to come back down and see us again sometime, and like to partner with the ministry up there and what they're doing. It's not everybody gets to do a ministry like this. It's so involved. Some of you preachers, you know, dealing with folks that are under the bondage. I understand we're all under the bondage of sin, but when I'm talking about folks in addiction, the incredible bondage that's there, and. I wish it was as easy as just saying, "Here's Jesus," and that was all there was to it. But unless somebody's heart, unless that something changes on the inside and they turn to Jesus wholly and solely, there's going to be times where they tell you what you want to hear, then break your heart, stab you in the back, don't want to face you. And someone that will commit to working with folks like that and continue to, it takes a lot of compassion and a lot of charity. A lot of charity, and I mean that in the biblical sense, okay? Not in the watered-down way we use the word today. I mean it in the biblical. It takes a lot of charity. And, boy, God loves them just like He loves us. Amen? Amen. You know, sometimes I think we think too highly of ourselves than we ought to think. But there isn't a person you run into that God didn't die for just like He died for you. There's not a person you encounter that He didn't love just as much as He loved you. And so only difference between us and them is Jesus on the inside. That's the only difference. So I appreciate that testimony this morning. That was good stuff. Amen. All right, we're going to actually let start the break here between Sunday school and the preaching service a little bit early this morning.